So when we talk about the altruistic intention or the bodhicitta, there's two main ways to develop it. One way is called the 7 points of cause and effect, and another method is called equalizing and exchanging self with others. So there are two main methods of developing altruism. And so I'll go into both of those, but first I want to talk about a common preliminary practice for both of them, which is equanimity. So before we can develop love and compassion for others, we have to have some sense of equanimity, because love and compassion in the Buddhist sense refers to impartial love and compassion. We're not just being kind to some people and ignoring others and hating the rest, but we're trying to develop a heart of love and compassion that goes equally towards everybody. So in order to do that, we first have to have some feeling of equality amongst others, which means that somehow placating the attachment towards the people that we hold dear, the aversion towards the people we don't get along with, and the apathy towards the strangers, the people we don't know. So those three emotions of attachment, aversion, and apathy are impediments for developing equanimity. And if we don't have equanimity, we can't develop love and compassion. We can't develop altruism. Okay? So first step is equanimity. So we're going to do a little research in the laboratory of our mind. Some of you may have done this meditation with me before, but I do it many, many times and learn something each time. Okay? So close your eyes, put your notebooks down, and think of three people. Think of one person that you really, that you have a lot of attachment for, a very dear friend or relative, somebody that you really like to be around, somebody the mind clings to. And then think of somebody you don't get along with very well, who really irritates you. And then think of a stranger. Okay, now go back to the friend and imagine that friend in your mind's eye and ask yourself, why am I so attached to that friend? Why do I always want to be with that person? Why do I hold them so dear? And then just listen to the reasons that your mind gives. Don't censor it. Just ask yourself that question and see what answers your mind gives. Why am I so attached to that person? Now think of somebody that you don't get along with very well. Somebody who you have a lot of aversion for. And ask yourself, why do I have so much aversion for that person? And again, listen to what your mind says. Just do research into your own way of thinking. Why do I have so much aversion for that person? And then think of a stranger, somebody you don't know, and ask yourself, why am I apathetic towards that person? And then again, listen to what your mind responds. Are you attached to your friend? Your turn to talk. They like the same things I like. They've been kind to us. They do things with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really accept us. Yeah, when we do things for them, they're grateful, they're appreciative. They recognize what we've done. Yeah, they give us respect, satisfaction. They don't take us for granted. They agree with a lot of the things we think. Okay, what about the people you don't get along with very well? Why not? Why so much aversion towards them? They criticize me. They point out all my mess ups. Definitely. They compete with us. Sometimes they win. Yeah. They don't appreciate us, or they just look at our mistakes. They sometimes show us aspects of ourselves that we would rather not look at. So they have a lot of kind of negative feeling towards us and misunderstand. We don't seem to be able to clear it up. And then also when we want to do something, they get in our way. Yeah. We have some project and they get in the way of our project. Cause interference. Okay. And why the apathy for the strangers? Yeah. Who are these guys? I don't know. Yeah, so they don't affect us one way or the other. Yeah, doesn't it? Seems like caring of them would just sap all our energy. So apathy is just the best way to deal with it, because there's so many. Yeah, we're not connected.
No, we're not connected, but then potentially they.
Right. And sometimes even the strangers we very easily put into the category of friend or enemy, even though we don't know them. Yeah? I mean, how swiftly we judge people by what they look like or how they walk or how they talk. Mm-hmm. Or dress. Right. So kind of the fear, we even block out the fear just by being apathetic, don't we? So what do you keep hearing as we're discussing this? What word? Oh, me. How much just the whole discrimination into friend and stranger and difficult person, how this all depends on how we perceive somebody else relating to us. And yet, in this whole process, we don't feel like we're discriminating people on the basis of how they relate to me. We feel like we're looking at them objectively at what they're like from their own side by themselves. So when there's some person that is just so wonderful and we're so attached and we want to be with them, we're convinced that that person is wonderful from his or her own side. We don't think, oh, I think they're wonderful because of what they're doing towards me. We think that there's something in them that makes them more wonderful than anybody else in the world. And similarly, when there's somebody who we consider really obnoxious and difficult, we don't feel that perception is something that arises dependent on us or on a situation, but we feel like that person is obnoxious and rude and inconsiderate all by himself, you know? I mean, he's just a jerk, and I just happen to walk down the street and here's this jerk out there. You know, his being a jerk has nothing to do. Realize that the friend, the difficult person, the stranger, are basically creations of our own mind. That nobody is a friend or difficult or stranger from their own side. They only become that by us labeling them that, and we label them that on the basis of how they relate to me. Because I'm, obviously, it's very clear, I'm the most important person in this world. You know, it's very clear. So if this person is kind to me, they are a good person from their own side. If they're kind to somebody else who I think is an idiot, then they're foolish. So their fact of being kind, you know, we feel like we're looking at them objectively, but we really aren't, because it's not the factor of their kindness that is the determining thing. It's who they're kind towards. If they're kind towards me, they're a good person. If they're kind towards somebody else I don't like, then they're not. And similarly, with somebody who we consider an idiot or a jerk or, you know, an enemy or a threat, it's basically because of how they're relating to us, not because of some quality that they have in and of themselves. Because if they're very, very critical of us, then we say that they're a difficult person. They're rude. They're obnoxious. If they're very critical of somebody else that we also happen to be critical of, then we say they're very intelligent. So their whole quality of being critical, that isn't the point, it's who it's getting shown towards. That's what the basis of discrimination is. Okay. So we're not really seeing people objectively, you know, really seeing them for what their qualities are, but we're constantly evaluating them through the filter of me, because I'm so important. So when we have when there are difficult people in our life, or when there are enemies, or, you know, people we feel uncomfortable about, they are a creation of our own mind. Because we have labeled them that way, we have perceived them that way. And we aren't recognizing that we're not seeing the totality of who that person is. Because no matter what person has been mean to us, that person is kind to somebody. And similarly, the person who's so wonderful to us is very mean, you know, can be very mean to other people. Okay? So if we begin to realize how we create the friend and the enemy and the stranger, then we begin to realize also that these categories really aren't necessary. And that if we took the me, the I, out of the picture, it might be possible to see people, all people, in some kind of equal terms. Because all of them have some good qualities, all of them have some faults. Very, very similar that way. And a person who has some fault, they can show it to me, they can show it to somebody else. Same with the person who has some good quality. So, based on that, why should we cherish some beings and have aversion to others and apathy towards a third group? If all of them really are capable of acting in any of the three ways to us at any particular time, why cherish some without, you know, and not others? And so, you know, this thing of, well, somebody was kind to me, that's why I should cherish them. Well, then you have to ask yourself, let's say there's two people, okay? So this person today, or yesterday, he gave you $1,000, and today he slugs you. And this person, yesterday he slugged you, and today he gives you $1,000. Now, which one's the friend and which one's the enemy? They've both done both things. Yeah. So, you know, if we have kind of a big mind and we're able to see that we've had lots of relationships with all the different sentient beings at one time or another, and that everybody at one time or another has been kind to us, everybody similarly at one time or another has been mean to us, and everybody at one time or another has been neutral, then if we see that in a long-term perspective, then what's the sense of being attached to some and having aversion to others and not caring about the third group? if all of the people have been all of the different things to us, then what sense is it to have this discriminating mind, this partial mind? And if we see, really contemplate how the relationships change, then we really see how silly the attachment, aversion, apathy are. Because, you know, I mean, you just look over your life. I mean, when we were born, everybody was a stranger. Okay? Now, in the midst of that strangeness, you know, we felt a lot of apathy. Then some people began to be kind to us, and we had friends. But then, and we felt attached. But then some of those friends later on became strangers again. We lost touch with them. Others maybe even have become enemies and people we don't get along with. Yeah, people who were once very kind with us, now we don't get along with them. And similarly, people who we used to not get along with, now maybe we've lost touch with, we don't know them, they've become strangers, or some of them have even become friends. So all these three categories, you know, the strangers become friends, and then they become enemies, the enemies become strangers or become friends, the friends become strangers or become enemies. All these relationships are in constant flux. But when we don't see that all these things are in constant flux, when we don't realize that everybody has been everything to us at one time or another in all of our beginningless lives, when we don't understand that, then we just take the superficial appearance of how somebody is relating to me as a concrete reality and a reason to either cling to them or have aversion towards them or be indifferent.